area, excuse me, from the Northeast Freedom Area, I give you Janice.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ag. My name's Janice. I'm really nervous. I did not have an opening speech. I should have thought about this more. And I'm hot, so I just want to let you can't stick a menopausal woman in a hot room and expect good results, okay? So I'm just telling you, I might start putting my hair up, the shirt. I got another tank. I don't know. You just don't know. So that's it. And I would like to thank the committee for asking me. It's an honor and a privilege to me anytime I'm asked to share and give service in Narcotics Anonymous. I am a grateful member. You know, the topic, not so sure about. That's been a big discussion. And I got the topic. I looked like in the index of all the books, just, you know, the quick study, because I hate reading and all that. I do a quick study. I Googled it. I'm like, I got nothing, okay? So all I'm going to do is share my experience, strength, and hope. And this is what I took from restoration is a spiritual gift. You know, when I say spiritual, because it's a spiritual, not religious program, you know, when I came in here, I want to say I was old school, you know, raised up Catholic. Right there, fire and brimstones, God's punishing me, you know, for all that I did wrong. So that was my concept of God when I got here, and it was forced. And not saying that I wasn't okay with it, that's all I knew. I came in here and everybody was talking about God and higher power, and I was like, you know, waiting for the lightning bolts and all that. So that was my spiritual part. And then with the restoration, I felt hopeless, you know, and I didn't know. First of all, I felt insane, but I didn't really know that I was. And then when you start working the steps and you get like to the second step and they say being restored to sanity. And I can remember that was a big fight with me and my sponsor at the time. And, you know, because I thought it said that I would be. And she said, no, it says you could be restored. And I got scared for a minute because I thought, oh, no, I'll be the one it don't work for, right? So that's kind of where I came up with this is how I'm going to talk about this. And first, I'd just like to qualify myself because I know they're all topics and all, but I am a drug addict. I want everybody to know I'm an addict. I don't know. I kind of know where it started, but, you know, it goes back. You know, and the first thing that I knew for me was I learned as a child how to not deal with my feelings. I shut them off. You know, and that's where it started for me. And when I was like 6 and a half, I had a little brother that died, you know, and that's what happened. And it was sudden and it wasn't explained because I was born a long time ago when children were seen and not heard. They weren't coddling you and talking to you and getting down to your level. You were one of the kids. I was like, you know, the furniture, you know, I was just there, you know. And so it was kind of like that. And my parents were in a bad way. So, and that was also when I believed that whole God thing, that God-fearing thing happened because I felt like we were being punished. So that happened. I shut off my feelings. And that's kind of how I ended up, I believe, in Narcotics Anonymous. Because the best way I learned how to deal with my feelings is by outside things. You know, for me as a kid, first it was food, then it was cigarettes, then it was alcohol. In there somewhere it was, you know, men, other things, you know, then drugs. And ended up here in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and all the wrong things, all the wrong places, all the wrong people, that's what I did. And I used to come in here and say, you know, is anything outside of me that made me feel good? It was just anything outside of me that made me not feel the way that I felt. You know, that's what I did. So I've been here, you know, and I like to say this as a message of hope. You know, I got clean in October 1986. I celebrated 30 years last October. So I'm just letting you know that this is a process, because you would think, like, with 30 years, like, I would have been able to come in here and say restoration to sanity, you know, is a gift and spiritual gift and have a whole big rendition already, but it didn't work like that. And this menopause hit, and it all went, woo. You know, so I'm just telling you. And you young ladies that are in there, don't be scared. We're here for you. You know, it's okay. It's actually nice that you don't always remember everything, but... So, but for me, you know, and when I got here, you know, it wasn't like a planned event. Like, I know a lot of people have those kind of stories, and mine wasn't. I used drugs. I was married to a drug addict. Everything got real bad from probably the third day I picked up as a teenager. I just didn't know it. And I ended up at 27 years old. And somebody said to me, you need to get help. You know, I was at my parents and I was like, went back there and that's what happened. I ended up in a detox. I love hospitals and institutions. It saved my life, you know, and I went in there and I was introduced to the program in there. And so they told me what to do, you know, and for me, see, you're being restored and you don't even know it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I figured out. When I was thinking about this topic and I really like thought about it, I was like, I was being restored. I just didn't know it. You know, and that's the part where they tell you in the very, like your first meeting, they say, keep coming back. It's because they already knew. You know, if you just show up, if you just keep coming back, you don't got to come in out of the gate and know everything. You don't have to come in out of the gate and work all 12 steps in the first 3 months. You know what I mean? Just come in, get a cup of coffee. Well, not us ladies, iced coffee. Get, you know, sit down, take a seat and relax and listen. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how it was for me. I came in here, I wasn't even sure I was staying. My mother was dying. That's how I ended up here. Left the husband, went to the parents. My mother was dying of cancer, and my father let me stay there. And then he said, you got to go, because I was taking her drugs. You know, he's like, and I ended up here. You know, so that was kind of my plan. And my first real sense of being restored at all was a month after I had 89 days clean, and my mother died. You know, and I was thinking in my head, done, right? Done. Nice, but don't want to stay here, right? And like a month after my mother died, somebody said to me, I can't believe you didn't use when your mother died. And I was like, darn. Like, me either, right? Like, I had it. I was like, that was the plan. You know what I mean? I knew where the drugs were, you know, whatever, you know, whatever. And that's what, and what happened was, when my mom died, we were at I'm a Polack, you know, and they have like a 3-day event, you know, and everybody's drinking and partying. And I had met two people in NA, and they were stuck to me. You know, I wasn't really sure why, but they were stuck to me. And they came with me, and then when we left the house that day, I was like, see ya, thanks for helping me out. And I was like, done. But they were like, no, come with us, you're going with us. And then everybody's like, get with your new friends. So that's how it happened. It's like you kind of just get drug along, and you don't even know what's going on. And like a month later, when that person said that to me, I realized that something was going on. And that was my first, like, I can look back and see my real restoration, because I didn't use. You know, I listened to somebody else. You know, even though up here, I have a whole committee, all different kind of voices. They talk in my voice. Sometimes they talk in your voice, and they tell me things that you're saying to me. I'm not crazy, really. And then other times, you know, it's just like, whatever it is, I just got that committee, and it chatters. You know, and that's the disease. And the other thing is, when I came in here, that back then, and I don't hear, maybe you guys do because you're not from my area, but people talked about the disease of addiction. You have a disease of addiction. It's not just about recovery. You have an actual disease that needs to be treated on a regular, you know, and that's what happened for me. I came in and they said to me, go to meeting, pray, don't pick up, get on your knees and pray. I was like, what? I did that, you know, You know, that's why I was so angry. My brother died. My mother was 53 when she died. It wasn't like she died of old age. You know, I wasn't done with her yet. So I was really angry, and that praying thing, I was like, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous meetings, it seemed like everybody's talking about God, who I was pissed off at, and the fourth step, which everybody was afraid of back then. You know, now it's in vogue. Back then it wasn't. You know, now it's like, yeah, I did my fourth step. Back then everybody's like, oh my God, the fourth step, you know? And, so anyway, now the air went. It's over. Next. So anyway, when I didn't pick up, where was I at? Four step. Anyway, when I came here, everybody's talking about it. I know what it was, praying on my knees. I knew I could do it. Woo! So that's what happened. Everybody told me, like, pray on your knees. You know, you can ask God. It was very specific. You can ask God to help you stay clean, and at night you can thank Him. And the only thing you can pray for was the obsession to use to be removed. Like back then, they were very specific. You couldn't ask for all kind of grandiose stuff and houses and cars yet, right? You know, all that. And that's what I did. And that was the next thing about the restoration that I started realizing, that I just kept coming back. You know, I wasn't running out and getting high. You know, and just that, praying. You know, and when I didn't use when my mother died, I realized that something was going on in here, and I started, like, paying attention. Because at first, I don't know about you, but for me, somebody told me that withdrawal, God made withdrawal for hardheads like us. Because when I first came around, for maybe like the first year, I was sick. I was coming off of stuff that made you have long withdrawal, and I didn't feel so good. You know, some of you looked real good because you did cocaine and it went away quick. Well, I didn't do cocaine, okay? And I didn't feel good. And I had to sit by the door so I could run to the bathroom. And I was sweating back in. Then I stopped for a lot of years. Now I'm sweating again, you know? But I'm just saying, so it was a hard, and I kept, and people would say to me, you know, just go home, go to bed early. You know, you'll be all right tomorrow. Go to a meeting again. And for me, I kept thinking in my head, like, when I don't feel bad, I don't want to just get well. I want to blast. You know what I mean? I'm going to wait. Right, because I'm patient right now. I got this. I'm gonna wait, and that's what happened. I thought I'll celebrate my first year. I did it right. I did it, and then I'm done. But by the time I got to that first year, so many things had changed. Basically, me, right? Because not a whole lot. I wasn't doing a whole lot of other stuff. I learned to hang out, go to meetings, found all. You know, I was getting unemployment then because I, you know, lost jobs, fought them, got money. Living at my father's, right? It was like, I was like, this is great, you know? Until he realized, he was like, you should have a job by now. I was like, you know, like that. Being restored to sanity, you know, brushing your teeth, taking a shower, you know, going to a meeting, listening to somebody that has your best interest at heart because they know better, you know? And not saying, this was my favorite. I know, my sponsor would say stuff. I know. I know. You know what she said? You need to take I know out of your vocabulary. I was like, for real? She was right, because I didn't know everything. You know, you couldn't have told me that I would be here today. You know, it was a lot of listening to stuff that I didn't want to hear. You know, I've had a lot of things happen in recovery. You know, there was times when it was the high highs, you know, things are great, I'm rolling, you know, hanging with the women, you know, sponsor, working steps. Because for me, it's like the second step, this is about the third step, you know, surrendering to God, you know, and it's a higher power, meaning however you, he is for you, or she is for you, or it is for you, you know, and that's something for me that has changed over the years. Now, my higher power, I love my higher power, and my higher power loves me. I call my higher power God. I hope I don't offend you, but if it does, that's why we have sponsors. But anyway, it just makes it easier for me to just say God, okay? So, and God for me is like, God loves me unconditionally. However, my disease will say, not always. He don't like it when you're doing this, or he don't like it that you didn't do that, or whatever it is, you know? And that's where I think that the restoration part comes in with 6 and 7. So it's a process. You know, when you start working on yourself and working the steps, sure, some big things happen right up front, but then the rest of it, it's that journey. You know what I mean? Everybody that comes in new, they come here, they see everybody, looks great, they hear people, they're like, oh my God, yes, I should have that. It wasn't like that for me. There was times I kicked and screamed. There was times I hated this. There was times my heart was broke. I didn't break a lot. I think I got my heart broke more, but whatever, you know. There was all that kind of stuff. People had things that I didn't have. People looked better on the outside than I did. You know what I mean? I want this. I can't get the job that I want. Why couldn't I have a healthy marriage? Well, because you married a drug addict. You know what I mean? And you were both using. It's not God's fault. It's not rocket science. It was me. See, and when I was able to take personal responsibility for myself, you know what I mean? And it wasn't you. It was always somebody else. It started with my parents, and it pretty much has ended. Sometimes my husband now, I can say it's him, but it's really always about me, you know? And that's the other thing, too, you know, when God puts people in your life, you know, when those people are there, they're there for you. They're there for that process, you know, and that, like I said, the whole restoration for me has been that. Like, I can look at times where I just sat on a, you know, like a stump, just sitting there waiting for time to go by, and other times when I'm like, yeah, depending on how I feel, you know. I went through a time in my recovery, you know, in the beginning when it was all about replacing, I couldn't stand to be by myself, period. You took my best friends away, my drugs, and then I came in here and I didn't like one thing about myself. I had no self-esteem. It wasn't low. I had none. You know, I was never built up like that, like I said. And I don't blame my parents anymore because I've done step work. You know, they did the best they could. They gave me what they got, which wasn't a whole lot back then. I'm talking a long time ago, you know, and so it's like, that's all I had when I got here, you know, and then, you know, ego and the disease, like I said, and a lot of times you hear it described as that dis-ease. I always felt like that, uncomfortable, insecure. That's why I used, nobody would do that to themselves if they liked themselves. I don't care what's going on, you know, and that's what happened for me, you know, just coming in here and learning about myself, you know, learning that that's what's going on. And it took a long time, and it took being with the women. It took having those mirrors in my face, whether it was a sponsor, sponsees, other women. The ones you don't like, they're the biggest help. You know what I mean? The ones that are all that and then, and you don't want to talk, you know, and you want to talk about them and stuff, and you're thinking, what am I, jealous? You know what I mean? Or can I just be a helper? You know, I've watched so many women like come in here, like yeah, they hit the door and you're like, oh, and you're like, oh, I was like that. That's right. I forgot. You know, and then they, and then you watch them, you know, and you befriend them and you be that power of example to them, you know, without judging. You know, and it's on the outside too. You know, it's not just in here that we're supposed to come in here and be the best people we can be. You know, you take it on the road, you know, and there's a time for me, you know, like I said, I've been through relationships, and the first relationship I was in, it was like stuck to that person, like, don't even know if I liked them now. He made me laugh. I was like in love, like there was no other, you know, no tomorrow. That you can see that ended. But when it ended, I didn't know what to do with myself. You know, and my sponsor told me at the time to get an F in life. And I was like, what? You know, like, what about what page you're reading the book? You know, you're going to come over here and pray with me? Do something. You know what I mean? And she told me to get a life, and that's what I did. You know, and I started, like, what is Janice like? I always did what you liked. I had no idea. I wasn't one of them kids that wanted to be a dancer. I'm going to be this when I grow up. It got squashed. You know, when you start using drugs at 12, there isn't a whole lot of, what do you want? I don't know. I want to smoke more reefer. I want to eat pills till I don't feel anything anymore. You know what I mean? And what? You got stuff that makes you not out? I'll take that next. I did whatever you were doing. You know, and that's why I would blame people, because they had it. They didn't have a gun to my head. You know? And so that's what happened. And then coming in here and finding out, like, you have choices. I was like, why do I have choices? I can do whatever I want to be, you know, be all you can be. I'm not joining the army, but, you know. And that's what I did. You know, hung with women. You know, my one sponsor, I'm like, she was real big with that. You know, like the Saturday night going out with the women and all going to dinner and hanging out and meeting. And I thought to myself, if I got to go one more Saturday night, one more dinner with these women and sit there and listen to all this crap, I'm going to scream. Right, and it saved my life. But at the time, I always felt like I always felt like I was missing something. Somebody had something going on, I should be there. And really, that's what saved my life, because when I did that, they lifted me up. When I would fall, they were always there. That's what I noticed, that these women were always there, a phone call, no matter what. Because in the beginning, I was a crisis caller. I was good. Then the boyfriend, something happened. I was like, 911, get one of these women on the phone. I need help right now. You know what I mean? And somebody pulled me up on it. And I was like, oh, no, she didn't. I'm never talking. You know, and that's all that. Oh, and some of these people laugh now because they're like, they look at you after you've been here a while, and they don't know that you came in with all the same crap. And I can have the same crap right now. It didn't like it went anywhere. I just worked some steps over it. You can call my husband. Don't embarrass. He's crazy. No. It's him. But, and what happened was, you know, and God put people, you know, and my first husband, you know, when I got here, he came in and he left, you know, and when I had 7 years clean, he hung himself. He couldn't get this thing. So when I come in here and I say, this disease wants your life, you're being restored for a reason. This disease will kill you in one way or another, and it'll kill the people around you's spirit because they love you. You know, and that's what I found out. Like, I have had all that come back you know, around, that karma, what goes around, comes around, whatever. I've seen it on all different sides of it, you know. And when that happened, it devastated me because, you know, I was like, whoa, you know, I never grieved that relationship because I left one for another because I couldn't stand to be with me, you know. And then I took time off, and I did that, and I had a job, and I bought a house by myself. I didn't have to have some guy do it for me, you know, and I started, like, living Janice's life. I was like, wow, who's she, right? When'd she get here? You know, and that's, like I said, that being restored. And things happen, you know, and the God thing, it's like making those decisions and then letting God be in charge. You know, I always wanted to be a mother. I always wanted to have a family. I always wanted to have children. I couldn't have a healthy relationship. And then I had all these problems. And then I found out that I couldn't have children. So, like, you know, and I had to have a surgery that changed all that forever, and I was devastated. I didn't want to use, I wanted to kill myself. You know, and believe me, when I tell you, I went and had the surgery, and at the time, my husband now, I had been dating him about 6 months, he gets put in my life. Like I said, you don't always know what's going on, just go with it. You know what I mean? And he got put in my life, and when all that happened, and I wanted to kill myself, I had somebody there that could just be there unconditionally, you know. And the day after that happened, when I woke up in my bed and I wanted to kill myself, I was like, oh my God, I wanted to hate God again. See, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't always, you get there and you get all that and it stays. It takes work, you know, and that's why you have that network of people, because then you call them and then they remind you. You know, they say, you got this. We got you if you can't handle it. I'll be there. What do you need? Just lay in bed today. That's okay. You know what I mean? Whatever it is. And that was one of the times in my recovery, other than in the very beginning when my mother died, that I didn't think I was going to make it. I didn't want to. People would say things to me. If you don't know what to say to somebody, you haven't gone through that exact experience and survived it in a healthy manner, say nothing. Hug them. Pray for them. You don't have to say anything to me. Just go home and pray for me. You know, because that's what I believe in, the power of prayer. Because people would say things to me. I was so hurt and wounded that I didn't want your, that wasn't good for me to say, you can have my kids for the weekend. You can adopt. You can this. You had a healthy family. You know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is that restoration comes and all different aspects. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's what you need. Sometimes you don't know that you're not finished, you know, and that's what I mean. And you just keep on going. And I'm grateful to say that this husband that I have now actually had a kid that I didn't really know about. She was 11. I met her twice. Like 6 months after all that happened, we get a phone call saying she lived in another state. Her mother was a drug addict, and she wasn't taking care of her. I looked at my husband and said, go get her. Right? I want one. You know? I don't care how old she is. I don't care where she came from. Go get her. I want her. You know, I was great. Right? A month later, I thought, what was I thinking? Jesus. You know, because I got somebody's kid that didn't want me to be their mother. I got somebody's kid that got taken out of school when she was 11 years old at 10 o'clock in the morning in North Carolina and transported to Dundalk, Baltimore, Maryland. And she was in shock. So it wasn't an easy road, but the road's still there. And that's why I'm saying, in all the work that I did, I was able to pass on to her. And you know what's really hard? When you want something so bad and you think it's going to be so great. And I was like, yay, I got a best friend. She's my girl. She wasn't. She didn't want to be. It was God gave me the gift to help restore her. See what I'm saying? So that restoration, it isn't always about you. You know, and that's what happened for me and her. And today, she just turned 21. She doesn't use drugs. She doesn't smoke cigarettes. She turned 21. I wanted her to never drink, ever. But everybody's like, lighten up. You know, I was like, whatever. Prayed. Talk to her about it. It's all you can do. Just like with birth control, you can only tell them about it. You can't be there all the time, you know. And just trust in that, turning that over. That's being restored to sanity for myself, the trust in God, that he's got her back. She has the same God that I got. or her God, you know what I mean. And that's what happened. And she's in college, and then she said she wanted to move out. She works. She's got a job. She got a little car. She's going to school. And somebody said to me, oh, my God, she moved out. What happened? I said, she grew up. That's what happened. She grew up, and she made a decision that she wanted to be grown up. I said, go ahead. The one thing I told her is the same thing that my father said to me. No matter what, that door is always open. You know, you always got a place to get. Not saying you live here, just saying I'm here for you. You know? But that's why I'm saying that you don't know where the restoration that you're in is going to take you or how you're going to help restore somebody else to sanity. My friends, my sponsees, we all do it. We have our little things. We have our tips. We laugh. We're girls together. That's all it is. You know, and all the things. My father died, it was like 5 years ago. Okay, my husband and I have been together all the time, but we were never married. So we decided we're going to get married. My father gets diagnosed with cancer. He's like in his 80s. And it's our responsibility to take care of him. And then my husband decides that he's got all this pain, and he got pain medicine. I was like, wow, you can't take pain medicine. You're a drug addict. You know, well, he forgot. He thought he could because he wasn't listening, doing what they say. Make a long story short, my father was sick. We got married like right before all that happened. And it was like one of the most painful times again of my recovery, you know. And all I could do was call my sponsor, and I was like, I didn't know what to do. And she'd say, well, where is he? And I'd say, laying on the couch. She'd go, good, at least you know where he is. And I was like, what? Like, do something. And there was nothing, just trusting in God, setting boundaries. He got clean. You know, and I'm grateful for that, you know. And the other thing is, you know, my father passed. And one of the biggest gifts out of that is, you know, all the things that I said, like, happened then, like, during that time. Because my parents, they weren't huggy, lovey, all that kind of stuff. That's just the way I grew up. And when my father was sick, that's what happened. Like, taking him to his treatments and taking care of him and cleaning his house and just showing up. Because that's all I had to do. And he made amends to me. Now, mind you, I made amends to him in my ninth step a long time before that, and he made amends to me. So when he passed, I don't have to sit here and live with all that little girl in my gut. Like, I'm free, you know. So I got the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 sign. So for me, like I said, it is just a matter of trust, sitting still, doing the next right thing. You want to be restored to sanity? Put one foot in front of the other, no matter what. Do the next right thing. I'm in a job situation now where I'm like, I was devastated last week. All kind of crazy stuff happened. Don't want to get into it because I don't have enough time. But all I know is I had to surrender. And then Scott tells me the topic of the meeting. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I trust my higher power, even when I don't think he's making the right decision or pointing me in the right direction, because I have a history now in recovery that says, you're here. You were there. You got this because all these people are behind you and all these people are in front of you and people are next to you. You got this. God's up there directing it all. That's all I know. So I just want to thank everybody for listening. Yeah.